Well, our scripture for today is in Mark chapter 1. It's page 707 in your pew Bibles if you want to follow along there, or encourage people with electronics. If you've got an app, you can pull it up on your app on your phone or tablet if you have it. But it's Mark chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. And as we said with the children, it's all about John the Baptist as part of the preparation that we have. So it begins, the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, "I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him." And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Now the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. Now John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message: "After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Well, grandmother was shopping with her two grandkids, and as she strapped them into their seats in her car after they had been shopping, little Jason piped up and he said, "Susie's got something in her pocket." And so grandma checked out her pocket, and sure enough, Susie had taken a little red barrette for her hair. So grandma had to explain how taking something from a store was stealing and they shouldn't do it, and they went back in and they took the barrette back. And their next stop was the grocery store. And as they were checking out of the grocery store, the checker asked the little kids, he says, "Well, have you been good so Santa will bring you presents this Christmas?" Little Joey piped up, "Well, I've been good, but my sister just robbed a store." Well, of course, we are preparing for Jesus. We're not preparing for Santa and presents. And Advent, even though our culture is all about Christmas already, Advent is that time to slow down, to reflect, and to say, how do I prepare for Jesus in my life? I'm not just here to prepare to celebrate Christmas and give gifts, but how do I draw closer to God? How do I take this time to prepare for God in my life? Well, in our gospel lesson, it was a quote from Isaiah, and how God used the prophet Isaiah to say God's going to do good things in your life. He's going to prepare a way for you to bring good news. Now, the original context of this in the Old Testament were the people were in exile. They were in Babylon. They had been there 70 years, and many of them had lost hope that they'd ever go back to their homeland. And God sent Isaiah, and he says, "I'm going to bring you back to the homeland." And that's where the whole thing with the mountains and the valleys, God is saying, "I'm going to make it possible. I'm going to level everything out so that you can leave your imprisonment, leave being held in a foreign land, and be able to go home." And sure enough, God raised up King Cyrus, a Persian, who defeated the Babylonians. It was King Cyrus who decreed, "You may go back to your promised land." And the people did. And so that was fulfilled in the time of Isaiah. Now John the Baptist comes along about 500 years after Isaiah, after the exile, and he says, "You're in exile again, but you're not in a foreign country. You're separated from God by your sins." And so John the Baptist says, if you're going to prepare for God, if you're going to prepare for God's coming in your life, what you need to do is repent of your sins. And so Advent begins or continues the second week with John the Baptist saying, if you want to prepare for Jesus, you prepare with repentance. Because that's how we get close to God. What are the sins that separate us from living as the children of God that He would want us to? Well, this week we had a labyrinth that was set up, and as I was walking the labyrinth, one of the things I love about a labyrinth is as you walk the pattern, you're constantly turning and heading a new direction, and turning and heading a new direction. And really, that's what repentance is all about. In fact, the Greek word for repentance, metanoia, means to change one's mind or to change one's direction. And so as I was walking the labyrinth anyway, each time I would make a change, I would say, is there some change I should make in my life? Is there something that would make my life more God-pleasing? Where do I need change? Does my pride keep me from dealing with other people and treating them as children of God? Do I have some anger that's still eating at me? Do I need to let go of any resentment that I still am harboring? Do I need to change and let go of that? Is there some area where, you know, with all the Christmas stuff, am I so focused on the material things of Christmas that my goals are no longer to be close to God? Is that something that I need to change as I go through this season leading up to Christmas? Is my life a light to others? Have I not shared with people the message of salvation where I might have had an opportunity? Have I not been conscious of being that light of Christ in my community? Do I need to turn? So repentance, as I said with the kids, is not just saying I'm sorry. You know, repentance is I need to turn. I have a new direction. I need to make a change. And so Advent is a time when John the Baptist arrives and he asks us, is there some change you need to make in your life? You know, and to do that, to make a change, you have to slow down enough to think about where is my life heading? What changes might I need to make in my life? Well, one of the things I think that helps me get a handle on that is to think what it would be like if Jesus decided to live in your guest room for a couple weeks this holiday season. Just imagine if Jesus says, I'm coming over for 2 weeks just before Christmas. What kind of change do you think might you make in your life if you knew Jesus was in that back bedroom? Well, we talked about that at a Tuesday Bible study where we look at the lessons ahead. And the first thing is, boy, you know, every meal we're going to say grace at every meal when Jesus is there. You know, we try to remember it, you know, but we don't, you know. And for sure, right on that dining room table, we'd have our daily devotion and we'd make sure we'd read the Bible. I mean, if Jesus was there, I'd have to be more conscious of not just turning away from the bad things, but doing more of the things that I ought to be doing. And it was funny, as we talked about that, I assume people would look at the negative things they change, but the very first thing out of the thoughts was, you know, I need to be making sure I'm doing the right things. The prayer, and maybe talking with Jesus, hey, we ought to visit that shut-in that is lonely. Hey, Jesus, you want to bake some cookies and go with us to visit somebody? You know, how do I serve others? So not just the negative, but on the other hand, you know, how would your language change? You know, the way we talk about people around our dinner table, or the talk about it around our house, or the way we even talk to our own family members, would we address them differently with different attitudes if Jesus was in the back bedroom and was there? Well, he is. Jesus is with us, but we tend not to live as if we really believe he's in our presence and hears our every word. And so, you know, the thing too, I think of the time that's wasted sometimes playing computer games or the electronic stuff that we can spend hours on without really getting anything done. And so what changes would you need to make? You know, and I think that's what Advent is, that good season to just simply slow down and say, if Jesus was living in my life, what kind of changes would I want to make? And then strive to go about making some change. Because again, repentance is not just feeling, oh, I feel bad about it, but let's change my mind, change my direction, implement some change in my life. Now, in 1 Peter 3, 8 to 17, and that's on page 858. Well, I've got, okay, is it 2 Peter? I've got 1 Peter, actually. I know in the first service it was 2 Peter. But the passage that I'm looking at is how to live in our world. And there in verse 9, it says, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because this is what you were called, so that you might inherit a blessing. And so part of the change is to say, how do I get out of that cycle, that direction that repays evil with evil? Because we all see what that leads to. You know, the Hatfields and the McCoys. Once it starts, the cycle never ends. Or the Middle East. Somebody bombs somebody, and then they get a guerrilla, and then somebody does something else, and it just never ends. As long as we buy into that cycle of violence, it's going to continue. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Remember Tevye in Fiddler on the Roof. If we all did an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, the world would soon be blind and toothless. You know. And so Jesus says, you want to make a change, quit seeking revenge. Quit repaying evil with evil on top of it. But he says, even be a blessing to those people so that you might yourself receive a blessing. That's a change. The other thing he talks about there is whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil. There are so many passages in Proverbs, here in Peter and elsewhere in the scriptures, in James, where it talks about the damage of the tongue. And it's so true. You know, the things of the tongue kind of flow out of the heart. And so what are those things we say? And if Jesus were sitting at our dinner table, would we say the things about our people at work or our neighbors or people at church if we knew Jesus was hearing our every conversation? Would we call out our spouses or our children? Would we speak to them with that tone of voice if Jesus were sitting at the table with us? How do we need to change the tongue? And that's one of those things that maybe that's the area that needs to be worked on, is just the tongue. Because the reason the scriptures constantly bring it up is because it's a constant problem among humanity. That's the other thing you see, is why does the scripture address issues? Because they're issues that humanity has struggled with in the past and that we struggle with today as well. So how do we, you know, use our tongue? What language do we work? So Advent, again, is what changes should I need to make? If Jesus were in that back bedroom, if he were sitting at my dining room table, how would I change the words I speak if he were in my presence? But Advent is not only turning away from the bad things, it's turning toward Jesus. It's turning toward the good. And that's what I liked about in our Bible study on Tuesday that came up. The first thing is, what are the things I should be doing? Because I think that's one of the keys, is turning to Jesus. Because if we're only constantly thinking of what we shouldn't be doing, then that thing is almost like a temptation. I shouldn't be doing this. I shouldn't be doing this. And that's what you're thinking about all the time, and then you're drawn to it. And that's why part of repentance is also thinking, what should I be doing? What is it that I, positive things that I want? And as I think about those things, I am drawn to those things. And one of the things with In our lesson with John the Baptist, he starts with repentance, but he says, I baptize you with water. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And so part of our job is to get connected to the Holy Spirit, to say, Lord, send your Spirit in me. Help me change to be more like you. Help draw me closer to you, to those positive things I need in my life. Because really, the Holy Spirit is that which connects us to God. You know, Jesus says, that which is flesh, and that which is spirit. And in the world, those two things are separate. And the Bible tells us God is spirit. How do we get, as physical people of the flesh, get connected to God who is spirit? Through his Holy Spirit that he sends. And God, who is Spirit, is also God is love. So when the Holy Spirit is within us, when we call upon the Holy Spirit, when we've been baptized in Christ's name, when we read His Scripture through which the Holy Spirit works, we're then connected to God. And when we're connected to God, we're connected to love. Because that's who God is. So it's not, repentance, again, has the two sides. Yes, turn away from evil, but turn toward God. Turn toward the positive. Because I find sometimes if you're constantly harping on the negative, don't do, don't do, don't do, that's what you end up doing, because that's what you're talking about all the time. And if you want to do positive things, talk about those positive things that you want to be a greater part of your life. And so that's the call of the Holy Spirit, you know, tied into God's love. And all we have to do is look at the cross. You know, that's not just there as an ornament. It's not just a piece of art, but it's a reminder. There is love. The Scriptures tell us greater love has no man than to die for a friend. But Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. Not only us, but for the whole world. That's the Holy Spirit. When that message becomes part of our heart, our mind and soul, we turn to that message and we say, Christ loved me enough to die for me on the cross. Christ loves my neighbor enough to die for my neighbor on the cross. So to be connected to the Holy Spirit is to be connected to that message of love that is manifested on the cross. And that's during this Advent time. Turn away from sin, turn toward God, turn toward the cross, turn toward His forgiveness, turn toward His love. And so every time we look at the cross, there is God's love. Every time we read God's word and there is a word of forgiveness, there is God's love. Every time we trust in His promise, you are my child, you know, I've prepared a place for you, and we trust in that promise of eternal life, then we live with God's love. And so those are the things that it's not enough, again, to just turn away from the bad. That's part of repentance, but then filling our minds with the good things, filling our minds with the Spirit who draws us closer to God Himself. And that ultimately is the work of the Holy Spirit. But then once the Spirit works within us, once we are filled with God's love, then God's Spirit says, now you are to be the body of Christ that takes that Spirit and that love of Christ to the world. Because it was Jesus in the flesh who revealed to us the love of God. Well, we are of the flesh, and when we're led by the Spirit and we take God's love to the world, that's how the world knows God's love. So the world knows God's love when we share with them the message of the cross and the hope of salvation. The world knows God's love when we act as forgiving people and don't hold grudges. The world knows God's love and we are light when we serve others as Christ served us, when we sacrifice for the good of others, when we feed the hungry and care for the poor. When we are the light, then not only does God's love come into us, it goes out into the world. So if we're going to prepare for Jesus, we turn away from sin, we turn toward God, and then we turn out into the world to take that love, to share it with others, that they too may know the love of God. So preparing for Jesus, repent. If He were at your dining room table, if He were in that back bedroom, how would you change your life? Well, think about that, and then start making some of those changes. But then, what are the positive things in terms of prayer, in terms of loving or caring for other people, taking that light out into the world so that the world may know the good news of salvation, the good news of God's love? So are we prepared for Jesus? Well, if Jesus came knocking at your door this Advent, would you be prepared to let Him in? Amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord God, we are sometimes so busy with the things of the season, we're not prepared for You. Lord, help us take a good look at our lives. Help us acknowledge your presence in our hearts and minds, and then to live as if you were living in the back bedroom, if you were with us at the dining room table. Lord, turn us away from sin, that we might be filled with your love, and that that love may flow out into our world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.